Let us pray. Loving Lord, we come before you, opening our hearts, opening our minds, opening our ears to hear your word. Let it infuse us with your spirit. Let it embolden us into your grace. And let it challenge us to do your will. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Our second scripture reading will be from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 16 through 19, and verses 25 through 30. You can follow along on page 844 and 845 in your pew Bible. Hear these words. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates, "We piped to you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Behold, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and revealed them to babes. Yea, Father, for such was thy gracious will. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord. I remember as a child how joyous summer was. It was a carefree time. And as I watch our children enjoy summer, I can't help but be a little bit of envious. Because as adults, we don't get to enjoy those carefree times like we once did. It can seem so very long ago. Because as adults, we have so many things weighing upon us. Bills, house repairs, car payments, taxes, our health, medical issues, problems at work, relationship issues. It seems like the list of our worries goes on and on. And while Jesus reminds us not to worry, there seems like there is so much to worry about these days. I remember back when I was a child, and my biggest concern was, how was I going to get 25 cents in order to buy a soda pop? For some of you, that was probably a nickel. Summer meant the school was out. What did we have to worry about? The only thing I worried about was trying to get out of the house before my mom could give me a list of chores. There are many kids and children these days that do not live such a carefree life. Because they do not know where their next meal will come from. Or they don't want to go home because they are abused sexually, physically, or emotionally. Whenever we hear these instances, we find it such a tragedy. Because we understand what a precious gift of childhood has been ripped away from them. We remember how much we treasured our own childhood. As a pastor, I don't typically work often with children who experience these problems. That's because church families, although we have our struggles, we are not typically dealing with these type of issues in our family. Yes, we have relationship issues. We suffer from joblessness. But I am so thankful of how well you have taken care of your children. How you have loved them. How you have wanted to make sure that they grow up in a healthy and happy home. As we look at these young future men and women, we can't help but be joyful. And probably a little bit envious. At the same time, we realize that children are not perfect. They need guidance. Anyone who has worked with children knows that they bicker and fight. As a child, I remember my dad saying to me, "I will stop this car if you don't stop arguing." With my brother, usually it was we get into a tiff, but then we go off and play with one another. It was not until I had a daughter that I realized how mean little girls can be to one another. The mind games that are played. In our passage today, Jesus references children twice. First, he says, "To whom will I compare this generation? It is like children in the marketplace calling to one another, 'We played a flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. But the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" Jesus did not mean these as words of praise. He compares this generation to a bunch of teasing and pouting children singing in the marketplace. Many criticized Jesus because he enjoyed the company of sinners and tax collectors. He socialized with the wrong kind of people. So they called him a drunkard and a glutton. They ignored his teachings and accused him of being a rebellious son. The law of Moses tells us what you are to do with a rebellious child. You are to hand them over to the authorities for punishment and possibly even death, which they eventually did. But Jesus points out that these same religious people also ignore the teachings of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who lived a life of isolation, a life of sacrifice out in the wilderness. He didn't go to parties. He wore clothes of camel hair and ate locusts and honey. And yet these same people called John the Baptist a demon. The problem wasn't with John and Jesus. It was with their own hearts. For they did not want to hear the truth of God's coming kingdom. The second reference which Jesus makes is much more positive. He says, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. The wonderful fact of the good news of Jesus Christ is that it is complex and intricate enough for theologians and great minds to ponder for centuries. Yet it is simple enough for a child to understand. Many of us learned our first spiritual truth as Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Robert Fulghum, in his now famous book, All I Really Need to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. Robert found wisdom not at the top of the graduate school pyramid, but in the sandbox of his own nursery school. He wrote, these are the things I learned. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that are not yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. When you go out into the world, watch for traffic. Hold hands and stick together. In these simple lessons, Fulghum points out the wisdom in which he learned. Unfortunately, he notes that we often do not carry these lessons into our adult life. So what are we to gather from these teachings of Jesus? Are we supposed to act like children? Jesus said that unless we accept the kingdom of God like a child, then we will never enter it. But then he compares those who would not listen as unwise children. So which is it? Well, it is the difference between being childlike and childish. Jesus calls us to have a childlike sense of trust. When we trust God as children trust, then we open ourselves to God's providence. We open ourselves to his teaching and his wisdom. Our faith begins with trust. While Robert Fulghum may have learned everything he needed to know in kindergarten, it still took an adult teacher in order to guide him and teach him those valuable lessons. It did not happen just on its own. In the same way, we too must listen to Jesus and accept him as our teacher and guide. Children naturally trust their teachers. They give their trust freely. It is only when they have been mistreated that they learn to distrust. As a child struggles, it is only natural for them to ask for help. How many of us, when we are faced with life's problems, ask for help. Too often as adults, we let our pride get into our way. Trusting God means to turn our worries, our troubles over to God, to ask Him to help us with our burdens. And so Jesus responds, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." When we have a childlike trust in God, we realize that God is bigger than our problems. He is an ever-constant help when we are in need. While we are called to have a childlike trust, God does not, however, call us to be childish. When we are childish, we forget God's wisdom. We turn against others. We bully and cry when we do not get our way. We criticize and belittle instead of finding adult solutions for our problems. God calls us to be adults with a childlike faith and trust. He does not call us to be childish adults. Yet when I look at the world, I see, unfortunately, many childish adults and too few adults with childlike faith. I see many crying, "Mine, mine, mine." I see politicians belittling and teasing the opposition instead of sharing responsibility and finding solutions to these very real problems. I see parents acting like adolescents, forgetting their responsibilities to care and provide. I see people running away from their problems, too few taking responsibility for their actions. I see a culture that lifts up teenage folly, who encourages immature behavior and does not encourage people to grow up into healthy, mature adults. As I look at our children and I see their carefree life, I am taught through their example to trust God, to trust God with my problems, to share in their childlike trust. But I also remember that I am not a child, that God has called me to be a loving Christian adult. Lest we forget the words of the Apostle Paul. "When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways." Yes, we might yearn for those carefree days. And we need to trust God more. But He has empowered us with His Spirit to have a mature faith. Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, be childlike in your trust for God. But do not be childish in your actions. Our world has very big problems, and it needs good Christian adults, faithful Christian adults, to guide this world. Let us take the hand of our Heavenly Father, and let us lean on Christ when our burdens become too great. For we know that He is gentle and humble in heart. And in Him, we will find rest for our souls.